Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and scram a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise to our triumphs in able. We'll rock your mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
We're on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry. Silly, what knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. Now, do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Good afternoon. I'm still reporting on the FBI reopens the investigation of crooked Hillary Clinton's email scandal. Disgraced FBI Director James Comey today sent a letter to Congress announcing that he was reopening the investigation into crooked Hillary Clinton's illegal email server on which was illegally stored thousands of highly classified emails. The FBI has learned of the existence of emails that appeared to be pertinent to the investigation. I am writing to inform you that the investigative team briefed me on this yesterday, and I agreed that the FBI should take appropriate investigative steps designed to allow investigators to review these emails to determine whether they contain classified information as well as to assess their importance to our investigation. Although the FBI cannot yet assess whether or not this material may be significant, and I cannot predict how long it will take us to complete this additional work. Donald Trump held up the start of his rally in New Hampshire this afternoon to digest the details of the unexpected announcement by the FBI.
Thank you very much. We love New Hampshire, I can tell you that. I need to open with a very critical breaking news announcement. The FBI just sent a letter to Congress informing them that they have discovered new emails pertaining to the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's investigation. They are reopening the case into her criminal and illegal conduct that threatens the security of the United States of America. Hillary Clinton's corruption is on a scale we have never seen before. We must not let her take her criminal scheme into the Oval Office. I have great respect for the fact that the FBI and the Department of Justice are now willing to have the courage to right the horrible mistake that they made. This was a grave miscarriage of justice that the American people fully understood. And it is everybody's hope that it is about to be corrected. So that is a big announcement that I heard 10 minutes ago. And I guess, obviously, most of you folks have heard about. And in all fairness, for all of the people that have suffered for doing so much less, including just recently, four-star General James Cartwright, General Petraeus, and many others, perhaps finally justice will be done.
And from the Hill, Ed?
Jenna, good to talk to you again. The House Judiciary Chair Bob Goodlatte has now put out a statement talking about the impact and the significance of this, saying in part, quote, the FBI's decision to reopen its investigation into Secretary Clinton reinforces what the House Judiciary Panel has been saying for months. The more we learn about Secretary Clinton's use of a private email server, the clearer it becomes that she and her associates committed wrongdoing and jeopardized national security. Now that the FBI has reopened the matter, it must conduct the investigation investigation with impartiality and thoroughness. The American people deserve no less, and no one should be above the law. A strong statement from the Republican chair of the House Judiciary Committee. That's the kind of investigation, frankly, the Democrats and Republicans were expecting from James Comey as the FBI director in round one here. And the fact that he's under such intense pressure from people inside the FBI itself, saying that they feel like that this thing fell apart at the end, and they do not understand why charges were not brought. This is now the worst of all possible worlds for the director of the FBI.
A prosecutor friend of mine just wrote me and said the FBI doesn't investigate maybe not cases a second time. Whatever it is bad.
Bottom line, in my opinion, this was a massive internal revolt inside the FBI from all reports. There was plenty of solid evidence of Hillary Clinton's criminal activities around both her email scandal and the Clinton Foundation. In years to come, when the truth comes out, I think we will find that Comey caved to the pressure of virtually the entire FBI. I think we will find that Comey was subtly threatened himself personally with prosecution for possible participation in a criminal conspiracy of some form or racketeering if he did not reopen this case. There was a lot of pressure just under the surface on this matter over the past weeks. Clinton and the DNC are now participating in a massive election fraud operation, and the United States stood on the brink of descending into the abyss of the destruction of the rule of law. I don't think this is fully played out yet, and so the next few days might bring about a nasty trick or treat for the Wicked Witch of the North. This has got to be a big boost for Donald Trump. This is finally the Clintons' Waterloo. I'm still reporting from Washington. Good day. Good morning. I'm still reporting on how to survive the Clinton voting machine rigging operation. We aren't going to be able to rout out all of the Clintons' corruption right off the bat, so we're going to show you what to do that gives your precious vote its best chance of survival in this wicked world. Larry Nichols worked for the Clintons in Arkansas. By his own admission, he carried out some of the most despicable orders on their behalf. He's now dying of cancer and has decided to spend the rest of his life keeping them out of the White House to make amends. One of his areas of dark expertise was he helped the Clintons run their vote-rigging operation in Arkansas. He knows these 2016 elections are rigged as well. But he also knows how we can beat the system. According to Larry, the safest way to vote is by absentee ballot. I realize that a video just surfaced of a postal worker destroying Republican ballots, and understand that there was another one uncovered yesterday, but I believe this is not a widespread occurrence. Larry advocates absentee ballots because it is the most difficult form of ballot for the Clinton crime syndicate to get their hands on. If you vote by electronic voting machines, it does not matter what brand. Larry says that although it is reported that George Soros owns machines in only 16 states, that is not true. Soros has a stake in more than just those voting machines previously identified. For this reason, when you go to vote, ask the workers if they can provide you with printed proof of your vote. He cited one case in Georgia where a woman had to vote four times before the printout registered her vote for Trump. However, really, the safest thing is to simply ask for a paper ballot. Apparently, all precincts are supposed to have a paper ballot available. Use your cell phone camera to record your vote, and do not throw away your printout if you obtain one. Take a picture of the video ballot as you cast it. If it changes on the screen, record that as well. Take a picture of your paper ballot as well. If you have any issues, report them to the Board of Elections in your area. Also, the Trump campaign posts telephone numbers for you to call to report vote fraud. I'll put those up the day before Election Day. All of this documentation will be used in the event that the results of the election have to be contested. as evidence when the MSM tries to say there is no vote fraud. We have included the link to the Larry Nichols interview with Alex Jones in the comments section of this report, as well as the phone numbers provided to call and report any inconsistencies in your area. We can beat the system. We just have to be diligent. Please post this video in every social media outlet you have access to. We need people to get this information. And one more note, whether you have already voted or not, please remember to wear red on November 8. The media will be out in force, and we want to show an instantly recognizable presence that is undeniable. We can take back America, and working at the polls is an excellent use of your patriotic time and energy this year. Here is one of the dark secrets of election rigging. Guarding those ballots at the end of the day is just as important as voting itself. That's when people are tired and the enemy rests up for that crucial 1 or 2 hours once those polls close. This is where the integrity of the American ballot is most at risk. If you're going to volunteer, but tire easily, save your energy for that crucial hour right after the closing of the polls. Guard your ballot, America, whatever it takes, up until the time that they are counted and reported. You have a right to be there to watch them being counted. I'm still reporting from Washington. Good day.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and they're carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
He, seizes the turtle. Always lurking, seizes the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I've been joined by Raymond on here. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, everybody.
Got your airplane going in the background. Is it warm over there where you're at?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you want to join in on the conversation, jump over there to www.shazoozradio.com/superchat.html. And for some reason, the radio tuna player has not been functioning. It says something about the tuna's asleep. So the tuna's been asleep for a couple weeks now, it seems like. But don't fear, there's a red button right above the chat room where you can click on the backup radio player. Or you can just jump over to shazoozz.com, and right on the very first page, you'll see at the bottom there's a chat room and a player over there available. Or you can just tune into wherever it is you normally tune into. So, there's always a way to listen. Anyway, it's election season out here, and there's a lot of excitement going on in the world, and it's things that need to be addressed, and it's just, it's never boring around this place, man. What do you think, Raymond?
Oh, I don't know, man. You got me. The election thing is really tearing me up. I mean, you know, so many people wanting Hillary for president, and so many not wanting, I don't know. And it's all confusing to me. Just totally confusing.
Well, and I think that's probably what the powers that be out there, the money makers of the world, I think that's what they pretty much intended on, was to keep everybody all arguing over everything and confused about everything. Regardless of which candidate you like, I don't want to elect Hillary in, because there's a history behind old Hillary there, and you know, she's been changed her story so many times. She's not even as honest as Congressman Bongwater. She'll say what she wants to get, what she has to get elected, but she's really not good about keeping track of her lies or her changing of her stories and stuff, because it's just a mess. All you got to do is go back and look throughout the history of what was said about her and what she said about everybody else, and basically what I'm seeing is one of the most sickening dramas play out. It's like it's worse than one of the worst soap operas out there. It's ridiculous what it is. But there is a serious note about the whole situation, is that the American people, and actually the people of the world for that matter, they all have a stake in the American election, believe it or not. You know, it does matter who's going to be president, because it matters who's going to end up going to war. You know, we got allies out there that if we go to war, they'll go to war with us. So it's kind of like you don't want the wrong guy elected in office who's trigger happy. Otherwise, you might end up going to war. You don't even live in America. You know, and it's a serious situation. And as far as the trust in the government and election rigging and all this kind of jazz, we know that the behind the scenes has been a lot of dirty dealings going on. And, you know, it's time for it all to come to stop. But there's a good note out there that's something I've been noticing a trend is that the alternative media is actually winning this war. This information war is actually being won by the alternative media. You know, I put a few comments out here and there and actually said a few things on radio shows that I'm hearing being repeated throughout YouTube and different places, different social media networks. So I know that maybe my thought wasn't original. Maybe somebody else thought of it too. But regardless, the idea, you know, like people wearing red shirts on the day of the election so that it's blatant in your face. You know, we're voting all Republican just to show the mainstream establishment what's what, you know, or whatever, you know. But that particular idea there wasn't my original one. My original one was to make sure your vote counted, make sure you document your vote, put your vote on paper, you know, make sure that there's a paper trail or a picture trail or some sort of way to document your vote in case there was supposedly have a recount or whatever, that, you know, you got somewhere to go, because some of these voting machines that's available out there, well, they're all, I keep saying that I say available, but basically there's characters out there who own, shady characters out there who own stock in all these doggone voting machines, and they also are pretty biased in their opinion on who should be president and who should not. So either way, I don't trust no digital voting machine. I want to make sure a paper or a document or whatever, something that can be recounted if necessary. It's just sad that you even have to even think about going to the voting polls and your vote not counting. But for all those folks out there who say, well, I'm just not going to go out and vote because, you know, it don't matter anyway. They're all puppets and this is all rigged or whatever, you know. That's not the way to think. Seriously, you seriously need to at least exercise your right to vote, because the majority of the people are waking up to the fact that they're getting fed up. And if comes a day you didn't even stand up and vote, you ain't got no argument to give. You know, if you didn't at least take that time to go out there and state your views of who you wanted to be elected, then you ain't got no reason to be complaining whenever the wrong candidate gets into the office. You know, even if it's a dog and pony show, even if it's, you know,
there truly is only one way. You can guarantee that there's no rigged election, and that's do away with the secret ballot. If you want to vote for Hillary, stand up. If you want to vote for Trump, stand up. Say so.
Yeah.
And that way, dead people that have been dead and buried for 25, 30 years cannot vote, because they can't stand up.
Yep.
Stand up. Say who you're going to vote for.
Well, that's what needs to be done, you know. There's a community over in the Middle East, I believe it is, that they got to dip their finger in some purple dye every time they vote. So that means if your finger's already painted, then you don't get to vote again. You know, over here, they'll put people on buses they go to one place and vote, and then they'll drive around the corner, go to another place and vote, and they'll keep on doing that in that jurisdiction as many times as they can. And, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, some of these knuckleheads out there that think that they, think that they got it all figured out, and they don't have any problems doing dirty deeds to get their candidate elected, you know, stealing elections and all that kind of stuff. We know elections have been stolen, and we know that the majority of the people don't agree with the people that were put in office. And you can ask everybody and his brother, who'd you vote for? And they'll tell you, it sure wasn't that guy, you know? And so, for the folks out there getting discouraged and saying, I'm not going to go vote because it's just a waste of time because, I'm not going to, my vote's not going to count anyway. Well, of course it ain't going to count if you don't vote. But even if you do go vote, even if they steal your vote, at least you know you voted. And at least you can stand up and honestly say whenever there was a recount or some people finally got fed up and said, you know, we got to put a stop to this once and for all. At least you can say, yeah, I voted for this candidate right here and watched my vote get changed right on the screen. When I ask them about it, they said, oh, you know, that just happens once in a while. You really got your vote. You just go on down the road. Everything's cool. No. Pay very close attention to the man behind the curtain. The emperor has no clothes. So, if you believe that your facility in your neighborhood's fraudulent, if you feel like you can't trust the people who are counting your votes, then you stand right there beside them because you have every right to, in the world to stand there and watch the votes be counted to ensure that there ain't no shenanigans going on. You know, we stand at a time where we got two candidates out there, one of which could potentially save America and bring America back around and maybe do good things if he keeps up with his word. And that's the key word, if he keeps up with what he promises. You know, because a lot of politicians, of course, he's not actually a politician, but a lot of politicians will say whatever they have to say to get elected, and when they get in there, they just do whatever they want. They don't care about what the people say. But, you know, this being able to trust your doggone election process is very, very important. But if you can't trust them, you stand there and you watch and make sure, follow your vote to the count deal and make sure it's counted if necessary. This is a time when this election, I feel like, is going to be very important, more important than people can possibly imagine. You know, one of the candidates wouldn't hesitate to start a war with Russia, and one of the candidates says we might ought to be able to make friends with Russia and work with them as opposed to against them. And if anybody's out there beating the war drums, talking tough, it's kind of ironic because it's not the candidate that's going to be rushing up into battle. It's you. It's your children. It's your children's children. Those are the ones going to be out there fighting. Even if they don't believe in the war, even if they don't believe in the commander-in-chief, even if they have absolutely no trust or faith in the person that sent them into war, if they're in the military, they have to go anyway. And so, this is a serious deal. You know, it's a serious deal for the whole world that this election goes as smoothly as possible. That people pay attention. You know, Thomas Jefferson said it, and I've repeated it so many times on this show, that the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And so we need to really seriously be vigilant. Especially around this time, with all the craziness and the corruption going on, we really seriously need to pay attention to what's going on. If the wrong candidate gets in there, the status quo of what has been going on all this time, it's going to repeat. And this country and this world can't take much more of all these shenanigans. But the good thing is, The alternative media, which is the citizen journalists out there, are making a difference, a huge difference. You know, there's a lot of alternative media platforms out there that are basically censoring things that are said on their platform. Like, if they don't like a specific candidate and you put a video up about a specific candidate, for some reason that video gets blocked. It don't get no views and stuff like that. So, out here on the internet, it's there's a war out here just to try to steer the opinions of the people in whatever direction that the bias is pointed at, you know? It's... We got our work cut out for us, folks. Seriously. We got two candidates over here with two vice president candidates. You honestly need to take a look at their track records. I mean, seriously, don't just listen to what the mainstream media says and make your decision from that. Actually, sit down and do some research. Look at some old video clippings. Listen to what they said in the past as opposed to what they're saying now. And use your... use your best judgment to decide before you go to the polls. But don't sit there and say, I'm just not going to go vote because if I vote, then I'm just wasting my time because it's already set up rigged anyway. You're giving your power over to the elite. You're handing it to them. By saying, I'm not going to vote, you are supporting the same people that you propose that you are trying to fight against. You're giving it to them. Now, if 200 million people show up in red shirts and vote for Donald Trump, and the election numbers show that Hillary won by a landslide, I'd say that'd be the biggest red flag in the history of time. 200 million people say, hold on a second. How many people did you say voted? How many of those folks are alive? Let's take a look. Let's take a recount. Let's get this. Just do like Raymond said. Everybody wearing blue, stand up. Everybody wearing red, stand up. You know? And, of course, we know the electoral process over here in the United States is a little sketchy, too, because, you know, you got the popular vote and then you got the electoral vote. Now, they're in the electoral vote. You got to ask the question of which ones of them been bought off. How many votes are already set for one candidate as opposed to the other before the popular vote comes in? You see what I'm saying, man? It's just, it's a mess. But, especially for those of you out there who don't believe in a God, in a divine intervention, especially for all the atheists of the world out there, my special message to you is that if you don't believe in God and nothing out there has anything to do with divine intervention, then that means one thing. That means it's up to you and me and us. There is no divine intervention coming. There is no cavalry coming. Whatever direction that the human race goes in is all depending on how we act now. So, if you don't believe that there's a higher power out there in this world, if you don't believe that there's a God, then that means it is our problem. It's our choice. It's our decision on which way that we point our destiny. And so that ought to be more reason why each and every one of us should be working together to make this thing right. Because when World War III shows up, it was we the people that allowed it. It wasn't the government. It wasn't the secret societies, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, or the Skull and Bones, all the different secret groups that you hear about. It wasn't the mainstream media. It wasn't all the different people that's pointed at that everybody says, well, this guy did it, that guy did it. No, we did it. We the people didn't stand up when it was time to stand up, and so we got what we got. We're in World War III. We're having to fight for our very existence. So the only way that this is ever going to get resolved and we can bring resolution and balance the scales of justice is when we the people do like Thomas Jefferson said, we become vigilant, super vigilant, where we pay attention to everything said, everything done. And we don't get mad and fly off the handle and start rioting and looting and pillaging and all that stuff. We put them on the table. We put them right there in the spotlight. You know, if you got a house full of roaches and you turn the light on, every one of those roaches will scurry because they don't want to get stomped on or bug sprayed. That's the same thing with the crooked politicians and the thieves and the murderers of the world. They know the majority of the people ain't like them. And so they're going to scurry the moment the lights come on. They're going to jump ship, just like all the other rats. You know, you think it's all hands on deck and everybody's going down together. It's not the way that way with the rich elite of the world that you despise. When America starts to fall into chaos, you think that they're going to stay in New York or Chicago or any of the main cities in the world and ride this thing out with you? No. They're going to get on their corporate jets and go to their little vacation sites outside of America and just see what happens. They're going to be safe. They're going to be well fed. They're going to be taken care of while you, the people, are out there fighting amongst each other because you're mad. Because you've had your freedom stolen from you. The only way to resolve this is to understand that somebody out there is pulling a Jerry Springer on you. Somebody out there is getting you aggravated, getting him aggravated, and trying to get you two to fight. When you do that, and you give the government the power, and all those fears of FEMA camps and military in the street, it was we the people who chose that path. Because we gave them the authority when they passed the National Defense Authorization Act. People didn't stand up on masses and say, no, you can't do this to people. When they passed the Patriot Act, when they passed the different treaties and stuff that the people didn't agree with, we the people didn't stand up on masses and hold our employees accountable. We did not stand up in masses and say, no, we ain't going this route. This is against our Constitution. It's against our beliefs. We're not doing this thing. You guys get down there and you fix it. No, these senators and congressmen and representatives went on vacations. They ate well at the restaurants on the government tab. They pocketed lots of money and gave money to their friends and special interest groups and did everything that, you know, it's like something out of a syndicate movie, man. They basically, it's who you know or how much money you got or whatever, you could get whatever you wanted, you could do whatever you wanted, you could get by with literal murder. And it shouldn't be like that. The law at the top should be the law at the bottom, and the law in the middle as well. It should be equal balance throughout the entire system. But we have seen from recent events and past events that it's not always so, that the average Joe or the serviceman will go to prison, whereas the politician will get a pardon. Who's pardoning the average Joe? Who's paying the average Joe's attorney fees that could range into the thousands, if not the hundreds of thousands, in order to keep them out of jail? It doesn't happen for the average Joe.
Shazir, I got a question.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of things, but one thing I don't know is I don't know the Constitution from front to back, or from beginning to end, rather. I've heard that somewhere in the Constitution it was written that Congress can make no laws that separate it from the public. In other words, they can't make a law that is for them but not for the people, or they can't make a law that's for the people but not for them. Is that true or not?
It's the whole Constitution is basically that.
Okay, so consequently, when Congress wrote a law saying that they could do this and not be guilty of a crime, but the public, if they do it, they are guilty of a crime. So in other words, in truth, that law itself is totally illegal, meaning that it does not exist, even though it's written down on paper.
Yep, every single law that was written that's against the Constitution does not have to be followed.
Exactly.
And as far as in the oath of office, you're supposed to not follow an unlawful order. You're supposed to follow lawful orders, but you're not supposed to follow an unlawful order. Which means if it's violating somebody's rights, if it's illegal and your commander tells you to do it anyway, you're not supposed to follow that. That document wasn't there to protect the government. That document was there to protect the people. And if that document is, like people say, if it's, you know,
that's
outdated...
That's what I was trying to say. You just put better words. That's exactly what I was trying to say. If the law, if they make a law and the law is illegal, then why did the public have to abide by it? That's bull.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I may sound like I'm coming down hard on we the people, but, you know, hey, I'm one of we the people. So when I'm coming down hard on we the people, I'm coming down hard on myself. I got to be vigilant. I got to get up there. I got to do things to try to contact my senator or congressman. I got to vote vigilantly, you know. I got to pay attention because I have a stake in it just like everybody else. I have a stake in this this deal, a skin in the game, so to speak, you know. My family, my blood relatives, my friends, they got to live in a country that is supposed to be free, you know? And that justice has to be balanced out for everybody. And if the people at the top can get by with literal murder and robbing and stealing, things that the average Joe would go to prison for, no, because those folks work for us. Folks, you don't understand. You fear the government. You shouldn't fear the people who work for you. You should never fear the person who's your employee. You're the manager. You're the boss. Literally, each and every one of you have a say. You know, we have a representative republic. That's because a democracy would fail because it's mob rules. It was not mob rules. So, which means that it's going to slow your roll some. That means you can't just run out there with your pitchforks and say, we don't like our government, let's force them out of office. No, you can't do that. What you got to do is follow the system step by step to make an informed decision to get these people out of office using the system, not violence and stuff. But don't be fooled. That document does clearly state that if necessary, by force, the American people have to take back the government because the government has become so tyrannical. That's what the Second Amendment's for. The Second Amendment wasn't put there for you to shoot burglars and all that kind of stuff. It was there for all and all out defense, not just against the burglars. It was put there against the government as well. It was put there as basically a deterrent to get these folks that are out there to represent you in a representative republic to understand that they're not going to send their military in and find a weak public. They're not going to find a weak citizenry that can't fight back. That's why the Second Amendment was put there. It was put there for just such an emergency that the governments of this country got so far out of hand that the people had to literally forcefully take it back. Now, I pray to God that never occurs, because if it ever occurs, it's done. This whole experiment called the USA, the America, whatever, the land of the free, is done. Because we're not talking civil war kind of fighting anymore. You know, We're not talking old style muskets and bayonets or whatever, fist fighting. We're not talking about a small minority of individuals out there actually in the middle of the conflict. We're talking about every man, woman, and child, and crazy, and so on, armed to the teeth. We're talking about the most bloody revolution in the history of revolutions, and it's not the bad thing about it. Just like Vietnam, you're not even going to know who your enemy is. They're not going to be out there wearing red shirts and blue shirts. It's not going to be Democrats versus Republicans. It's going to be brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor. It's going to be a free-for-all, every man for himself. On top of that, foreign governments and our own military trying to get control of a situation who has just went totally berserk. It won't be a war to end all wars. It won't be pretty at all. If the United States ever falls into that unfortunate circumstance of a second revolution, it's done. It's over. And it will go on for not just tens of years. It'll go on for hundreds of years. It'll keep on going until nobody can go any further. Gangs against gangs, people against people. It's something that outside of a all-out nuclear conflict and the total destruction of humanity, it ain't going to stop. So it's going to be up to we the people to ensure that it never starts. That's why in the wisdom of the document that they call the United States Constitution, that's why it says right there at the top clearly, we the people. That means you. It means me. I mean each and every one of you. And if you're one of knuckleheads out there thinking you're going to pull a little election fraud and, excuse me, get your specific candidate and your specific agenda in there, you're playing with fire. You're literally holding a stick of dynamite in your hand. And when it goes off, all the work that you did trying to pull your election fraud and get what it is that you thought you were going to get is going to backfire on you with the vengeance. Because when the giant wakes up, when the sleeping dragon of this nation is awake, you're on the menu. Everyone's on the menu. There ain't going to be no law enforcement to protect you. There ain't going to be no military to protect you. There ain't going to be no neighbors to protect you. With the exception of how many ever allies that you've been able to build up throughout this entire situation, you're going to be on your own. It won't be so funny then. Go watch the series Jericho. I'm begging you, each and every one of you, go watch it. Watch it.
I've watched it five times.
And what'd you think, Raymond?
I'm thinking that's exactly where we're headed.
Would you want to live in a society like that?
No, but if it comes, I'm going to have to.
Well, of course you're going to have to. Of course you might even actually survive. But literally, as opposed to what you've got now, even though there's corruption, would you rather live with what you got now or worry about who the heck you could trust in the next neighboring town? You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying, and I agree with you, and I don't know. Honest to God, really, right this second, I don't know which one is better.
Well, right now, you can get in your car, and you can go visit people across state lines. But next time around, if it's in a Jericho-type situation, you might not want to get in your car, because somebody might want your car more than you want it. They might want your food more than you want it. And your life may not be as valuable as whatever clothes that you're wearing. You know? And people, Did you think this kind of stuff that couldn't happen in reality? Go back in time and look at what happened a few times in a few places, like down during the time when Katrina was all heck was breaking loose. What was going on? How the people were living and their conditions that they were in. You know? And the military going around getting people's guns and stuff. It happened. It happened just like the movie showed it. And it'll happen again.
You've got a strong point. Very, very strong point. When Katrina happened, it was bad. And things got really bad. Way worse than the storm. Once the storm had gone, then people turned to animals.
Yeah.
But after a few days, and the bad people had to kill each other off, and there weren't enough decent people left, then the other people that didn't get hit by Katrina went in to help instantly. I mean, it took them a day or two to get there, but by that time, all of the craziness, most of it was gone. The federal government didn't show up for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. People need to buckle down and help each other.
That's the only way to do it, Raymond.
Helping each other, we need to get the crooks out of politics and leave the honest politicians there if there are any. I mean, come on, man. They're passing laws that they can get away with drunk driving, get away with speeding, theft, out and out, pure theft. I mean, a kleptomaniac goes into a store, steals something. He gets caught on camera, goes to court, goes to jail. But a politician that just happens to be a kleptomaniac, he's taken in the back room and talked to. No.
Yeah, there's this thing out there called diplomatic immunity.
Exactly.
And that should not even, if you're a foreign person and a diplomat from a foreign country and you're coming over here and you're committing crimes, you need to be held accountable for those crimes. There shouldn't be no diplomatic immunity. You know, but
amen to that one.
The whole thing is diplomatic immunity isn't just for foreign nationals. It's for all kinds of different politicians out there. It's about who you know, you know. You get caught with a DUI and just so happen to be lucky enough that the person who's in charge of the local sheriff or police is your buddy and they want to keep you out of trouble. You know, there's abuse of power. You think it doesn't occur? Sure it occurs. And it even occurs in the courtroom. Whenever you go to court, you can go in there, if you got enough money, you can pay triple the fine and walk out of there with a technical citation as opposed to whatever it was you did the first time around. And so, it's all about money. It's all about the bond. It's all about how much money you can give the system, who can benefit from it. You know, if the judge has got a brand new jacuzzi in his 9-bedroom mansion driving around his Maserati, and you're going to jail because you couldn't afford a bribe, something ain't right with that picture. And so, it's not just the higher echelons of the United States government, or any government for that matter, in any nation. It's in the local councils, it's in the state, and the federal, all of it. You know, you got to be vigilant. If your local mayor is corrupt, get your local mayor out. Period. Recall elections if necessary. That's your right. That is your constitutional duty to defend your nation against even those enemies that are foreign or domestic. Some of the worst enemies in the history of time were domestic enemies. Do you think that every single German out there agreed with Hitler? Do you think that every single German out there were terrible because of Nazism or whatever? Do you think that Genghis Khan or any of the people in history of time that were terrible dictators or leaders or murderers or whatever, do you think that all their people in their nation agreed? China? Korea? Do you think that all the people of all these different nations are representative of what they their so-called representatives are about? No. The majority of the people live in fear of the military that is under the control of whichever dictator or crazy that is in charge. When we the people finally realize that, hey, that army's got a couple thousand people with guns, but we're a couple million strong. It takes a lot of guts to run into battle. And not everybody's cut out to do that. But it don't take a lot of guts to pay attention and to voice your opinion whenever necessary. To be vigilant of what's actually occurring. Basically like, what's his name on Andy Griffith's show? Nip it in the bud. Barney Fife, that's who it was. Nip it in the bud. Stop it before it ever even starts, people. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. If there was something terrible going on in another nation and the American people, I'm talking about the people. I ain't talking about the government leadership. I'm talking about the people. I'm talking about Raymond and me and Muddy and all the different people out there. The real people. The people talking on this show and other ones like it. We knew there was something going on. And we had the way to get there to help, to assist. We would have your back just as fast as you would have ours. It's not we the people out starting these wars. It's the money makers, the corrupt medias, the corrupt governments. It's like, I talked about that example of the dots. There's a video out there called The Dots. I don't know what the actual name of it is, but you see this massive amount of dots, and then you see this tiny amount of dots. And the tiny amount of dots is bossing around everybody, telling them, you do what we say, you fear us, you know. And so that massive crew, for whatever reason, doesn't recognize that they outnumber these tiny little dots by the millions. Your power, your ultimate power, is your numbers. There's over 900 billion people on this planet, or 9 billion people on this planet. Hold up. Let me drag him in here. Add people. Add people to this call. Yeah, this is terrible for live radio. Select. Very friends.
Right. Oh, there he is. Hey, Barry.
We're live, Barry. He's not here yet, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, so basically, the whole entire scenario that is playing out with this election is just sheer madness. We're live, Barry. How you doing?
Good, she is. Hold on for half a second. You're letting my dog in.
He's going to let his dog in. All right, listen, folks. We've just been joined by Barry Prince. This election fraud that's going on, the scandals and all that kind of stuff, it's not something that we can't it's not something we can't defeat. There's a lot of people out there in this world who live their lives as defeatists. They basically, it's too powerful, we can't do nothing about it, it's too much evil, we can't do nothing about it, you know, we just have to make the best of a bad situation. No, we can do something about it. You can do something about it. Each and every one of you can do something about it. I ain't talking about grabbing the pitchforks and running down to your local council and running them out on a rail. What I'm talking about is whether you think it's good to vote or not, get out there and vote and document that vote so that you can sit there and have it in your hand. This is who I voted for. If it comes down to a hand recount, you got proof in your pocket right there of the corruption. But we gotta nip this in the bud before it ever even gets started, because once World War III or the Second American Revolution begins, it's too late to cry about it. You know, it has to be done, and it has to be done now. It has to be done consistently. Thomas Jefferson said it, and I'll repeat it again. The price to freedom is eternal vigilance. You are not powerless against these so-called representatives out there in this world. They work for you. They have always worked for you. If you live in the United States of America, that document that so many people despise and think is a waste and out of date, that document that says we the people on the top was made for a reason. It wasn't made to empower the government. It was made to empower the people. You get you a copy of that document and you read those laws. If they don't match up what that document says, that right there, take to the Supreme Court of the land. And that document is supposed to hold its weight. And when it doesn't hold its weight in the Supreme Court, you ensure that the Supreme Court changes. The seats of power change to somebody who will uphold that document. What's up, Barry?
Well, good morning. Are you on the air right now, or
yes,
are you
live.
Just having a chat?
We're live.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't even had my coffee yet, so I don't know if I'm capable of talking right now. I've never attempted to talk without a coffee in me. Holy smokes.
This would be a first.
It's brewing right now, man. I can smell it, but it ain't ready yet. It's driving me nuts.
The thing that we're talking about here today
is Hillary.
Yes, not just Hillary. It's the whole system in general. See, this drives me insane. I'm a Christian, and I hang around Christians that are defeatist, and it drives me nuts because I don't believe that we were put down here to fail. I don't believe that we were put down here to lay down the evil. You know, I read the good book, just like everybody else read the good book, and what I take away from it is that, you know, we were given free will in order to do certain things, to try to accomplish what our ultimate accomplishments, whatever it is that our ultimate goal was to be able to do, and that we have the chance to do so. But even for the non-believers out there that don't look at things the same way that I do, you know, if you don't believe that there's any higher power or any God or any kind of whatever, if this is it, then that means that we are responsible for our destiny, and we alone are the only ones who can control the direction of this freight train. There ain't no cavalry coming. There ain't no higher power coming. It's we the people. It's you, me, and all of us together. And so what we do today is going to define the world we live in tomorrow. It's as simple as that.
Well, we better hurry up because the powers to be just ordered the Titanic to speed up.
Well, sure they did.
So we better get on, guys.
Straight for the iceberg. And that's
we're right now, but I'll tell you right now, we're at a pinnacle time in human history. We are. I've never ever seen events unfolding on this planet the way I'm seeing them unfold right now. And you know what, Shiz is? It's like Johnny says, buddy, it's going by the book.
Yeah, well.
And it is so true today, guys.
I can't disagree with that. But you
have never seen these events happening like this. But the thing is, you have studied history. The same identical thing happened to the fall of Rome.
Yes, and exactly. Germany.
Germany, exactly.
Yes, history's repeated itself five or six times if you look into it, Raymond, and they've used the same agenda, the same protocol. Every time that history falls, every time a nation falls, it falls by the same protocol that we see happening in the United States of America today. Unless America changes, it will fall.
That's why I'm trying to tell everybody out there to grab up the spirit of Paul Revere and run with it. Tell everybody and his brother, keep your eyes peeled, because something stinks. Mm-hmm. All right? You know, you got to be the Paul Revere that was running around hollering the British are coming. See, nowadays we got British friends, so that might not be politically correct, but it doesn't matter. I'm not politically correct. All I'm saying is I'm saying what I feel the truth, that you got to be the Paul Revere that's running around warning everybody of impending doom. Not the boy who cried wolf up on the hill laughing every time everybody ran to the doggone rescue and nothing was going on. And then left to your own devices after, you know, people finally gave up. I'm talking about the one actually seeing the what we're seeing and saying, look, you gotta look. This is where we're going. That's the cliff that we're getting ready to go off. That is the great abyss. There is no coming back from that mess right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we go over the edge, we ain't coming back, guys. So, and we're close to the edge.
If you don't get out and vote because you don't believe the system's legit, then you can't got no reason to complain, because you got to at least state your view to be able to stand your ground when it comes around to time for everybody to say, I'm fed up, you know, this election's corrupt, and you'll be like, yeah, I voted for candidate A, and I got my proof right here in my hand. All right, so you got the leg to stand on. If you were sitting on the fence saying that, hey, ain't nothing I can do about it, it's all my vote don't count anyway, then you need to sit on the fence and just keep your mouth shut, because you did nothing. You know, there's a story in the good book. Tell me if you know which one I'm talking about, where a certain segment decided to go against a certain, you know, person, entity, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there were a separate group that sat on the sidelines to say, you know, we're just going to see who wins, and we will follow whoever wins. You know what story I'm talking about?
Lot and Abel? Is that what you're talking about? I'm thinking about the story you're talking about. Go ahead.
The battle between Lucifer and God.
Mm.
When the angels come against God, Lucifer's like that. Well, you know, I can be God. I got to do all this right here, so whatever. When he got cast out, you know what I'm talking about now?
Okay. I'm still half asleep here.
Yeah, there were angels that sat on. There were angels that sat on the fence and was going to wait and see who won. That's who they'd follow.
Mm. Well, we know who's going to win. Yeah. We're going to go through a lot of crap before we get there.
Well, society in general is doing that. There are those who will just sit on the fence and see what happens, and there are those out there fighting for what they believe in. I don't care whether you believe Hillary should be elected. Get out there and fight fairly about it. Don't go out there stuffing the ballots, because what you do every time you stuff ballots is you get that match closer to that stick of dynamite that is in your hand. All right? It's going to backfire on you with the vengeance if you cause this doggone dragon, this sleeping giant, to awake here that is we the people of the America, and you get an all-out civil war. Maybe some folks think they're going to find order out of chaos. No, you're not. I don't care if you're the elite in the bunker. I don't care if you're the wealthiest man on the planet or whatever. There ain't one person in this world that's not going to be affected by a second civil war here in the United States of America, period.
Mm. Well, the fact that Hillary Clinton is still running as a candidate as her presidency just absolutely astounds me. Shazaz, I mean, there is so much corruption in this woman. It boggles my mind that the American people that are still supporting her cannot see the corruption. It is so obvious what this woman is all about. And if it came down to me, if I was an American and down there right now and I had a choice between Donald Trump and Hillary, I would be voting for Trump, because there's a lot of things about him I don't like. I believe he's a puppet as much as she is, but in a different way. But some of the things that he has said has really rocked the establishment to the core. He has said things that politicians have never said. And if he follows through on some of his statements and some of the things he says he's going to do, you're going to see the change in America that's necessary. But whether that happens or not, is another story altogether. You know, with politicians, when they get elected, that everything they say changes. I mean, our Prime Minister here in Canada, Justin Idiot Trudeau, every election promise that he made to get elected, he has now broken every one of them.
Can you
trust him to be honest? I mean, Trump is saying what he's saying, but is he going to do that when he gets into power?
Well, let me give you my point of view on Trump. See, the reason why Trump scares the establishment is because, number one, he's wealthy. He's already wealthy. I mean, he's paying for his own ticket there. But the thing about him is, they ain't got nothing to offer him to bribe him to get him to go their way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's not controlled by the corporations. Yeah. He's a man of his own way, but is he a puppet? That's the bottom line. That's the question. Is he doing this out of direction by people that he's involved with? Is this a big charade? We don't know, Shaziz. We don't know.
It may be a big charade. We've been fooled before,
Yes, we have.
But
look at Obama in 08 and what he said, man. If people go back and listen to his statements and what he actually did, it's just total bull. Everything he said is total bull. Well, is the same thing going to happen if Donald Trump gets elected? We don't know.
That's
a big question.
My point is this. Regardless, Trump's saying what the people want to hear right now, all right? And the people are rallying around him, and he's shaking up the establishment. He's making the mainstream media talk about things that they otherwise wouldn't have touched, all right? He's got the government shaking in their boots. He's got politicians shaking in their boots. And whatever people think about WikiLeaks or Julian Assange or any of them, even if this ended up being some sort of conspiracy outside of the government to try to get us into a chaotic situation, some divide and conquer to cause us not to trust our doggone government, this was needed. This has been needed for a long time because now you've got people talking about it. Now you've got people recognizing that, hey, we're in a danger zone right now. We're standing on the precipice of World War III because of the crazy stuff that Hillary said. We're standing on the verge of World War III or the Second Civil War in the United States because of what's going on in the government, between the mainstream media lies and all the propaganda. People don't know what to believe.
Yeah, well, you know what? If this election goes ahead and Hillary does become your president with the announcement made yesterday by the FBI, then your country truly is doomed.
Yeah.
Truly is doomed.
I believe that
because
too.
That announcement yesterday was damning. She is in so much trouble, and yet she still is running for the most powerful office in your country. It
I
just boggles my mind.
I believe that if Hillary is elected, that it's done deal.
You're done. Your country's done.
We're either going to World War III or we're going to go to the Second Civil War. And I would even go as far to say, even if Trump gets elected, if Trump follows through with what he said that he was talking to the people about and tries to work for making America better than what it's been, then the people will work with him. But if he starts going down the path of the past of all these different people out there, you're going to see them turn on him like rabid dogs, because it ain't going to be no more like, Obama promises, oh, we'll tolerate him for another 4 years and we'll just, ride things out. No, the people are to the point right now where they're ready to revolt, flat out. And the militaries out there, our militaries, they're ready to revolt. The FBI is ready to revolt. People within the government are revolting. People in the media, the mainstream media, are revolting. You're seeing a turnaround. Right now is the most dangerous but the most glorious time for we the people, because what's going on out here right now is the mainstream media is losing. The alternative media is winning. The doggone people that's out there, the citizens, journalists, are catching the eyes of the people out there, and they're showing the truth. It's all coming out. I mean, it's coming out. The good book did say that in the last days, all truth will be revealed, man.
And nations shall rise against nations.
Yep. But I'm gonna tell you what, I'm not saying, because I'm not a defeatist Christian. I believe that we're not supposed to lay down the evil. I'm saying, I know what the book says. I know what the destiny we're heading towards. But I'm saying that until it's over, I'm not laying down.
Oh, none of us will lay down until he is here, Shaziz.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to lay down until he's here. He expects us to fight right till the end.
And that's what I believe.
And I will do that. And I know that they're listening to this call. Did you say good morning to the NSA and CIA and FBI this morning?
Well, do you just...
Because we should always start your shows. You should always... Start your shows with a good morning to those guys, because they're listening to us.
Well,
good morning, guys.
I'd like to spread a message to you guys that the continuity of government, it's already a lost cause. Every bunker out there, there's no such thing as a secret bunker anymore. There's no such thing as a secret underground facility anymore. They're all documented. Everybody knows where every one of the elite are going, flat out, you know. And so, with that said, if this is like the day when the... You ever seen the Independence Day when the aliens show up, or the one where the meteor impacts the world? Government all runs up in their arcs and the bunkers and stuff like that. Now, the people ain't going to get left hanging in this kind of situation. For continuity of government, if you run up in those bunkers, those become your tombs. You're not coming back out, period. We may die. You're definitely going to go. That's all there is to it. It's going to be mutual assured destruction between we the people and the governments of the world, because we're not going to do this. We're not going to stand idly by while you go live happily ever after in your bunker and come back out 10, 20 years later and be able to rule the world. No, it's not going to play out like that. When this ship sinks, we're all going down together. All hands on ship. Ain't going to be no continuity of government. Period. So try to believe the
nine. What you just said is absolutely true, Shaziz, because the Bible does not talk about the elite coming out of their bunkers 20 years after the poop hits the fan here and ruling the world. That is not going to happen. They might think they're going to be safe. They might think they have set themselves up, but we got a big news flash for them. Their plan is going to fall apart.
That's right. By the time you all roll up inside your bunkers and inside of your mountains, you're going to have farmers with tractors. You're going to have concrete workers. You're going to have the average Joe out there with heavy machinery plugging every hole that you got for air, plugging every exit, every entrance. You ain't coming back out. You're going to get locked in there like a roach motel, period.
Well, maybe we can get our hands on a few of their few chemicals they make in these labs and just dump one of them into the air intake.
Well...
That would solve the problem.
If they're going to leave we the people out to suffer doomsday, hoping that they can ride it out in their bunker, sorry about your luck, Chuck, because it ain't going down like that. No. We the people are awake.
Sure is.
Yeah.
You said something earlier in the show about a red shirt on voting day.
Yeah.
Well, what's a red shirt for people that vote for Trump?
Yeah.
Well, you know, not everybody can afford a red shirt. I mean, you know, they'd like to have one. What about a red garter?
Have a red tie, red bandana,
armband.
Whatever works.
I'm going today and buy me a red armband, and I'm going to wait until the election's over.
See, the whole thing about it is, to put a message out there to the mainstream media who's skewing the polls, I don't believe any poll at all, period. You know, I don't care, you know, how many people were sampled on either side, I don't believe any poll. You know, matter of fact, during one of the elections way back, I had used to have my own poll. And it didn't matter who you voted for, I got the vote, all right? There's many candidates, but I got the vote. So I was going to win an election no matter what. And that's how I put that out there to show how simple it is to rig the polls, how simple it is to rig the vote. When you're messing with electronics and the computer and internet, keyword hacked emails, does that ring a bell? Keyword hacked website, alright? Folks, if it ain't a paper ballot and you ain't got no way, if you ain't got something to say, look, this is what my vote was, then they get by with it, because you can't see inside that computer. You can't see what was changed and what wasn't changed. And in a day that we can't trust our elections, is the day that the doggone second revolution starts. Period.
Well, they're going to steal this one, Shaziz.
Well, if they do, then
if you look at the rallies, and I mean, there's been trolls that have actually got inside of Hillary's rallies. And, you know, you hear about these figures of 500 people. Well, these figures are true. she's having trouble getting anybody coming out to listen to her. And you look at what Trump is drawing for people. It's 25, 30, 20, 35, 40,000, sometimes 25,000 people just about everywhere he goes. So if that translates to the ballot box, what I see right now is a landslide for Donald Trump. But when Election Day comes in the United States of America, Hillary will be your president.
Well, I'm sure.
So you better be ready for a revolution, folks, because they're going to steal it again. There's just no way they're going to let them in.
I'm sure of that.
And they're ready
to
go to the war.
I'm sure of that as well. I'm just, all I'm saying is that regardless of whether it gets stolen or not, you better be paying attention, because these are the times right now where they're literally fighting for their very survival and power. And it's going to be an ugly election.
They might just cancel the election too, she says. That's another scenario that we should talk about for a couple minutes, because right now we have the Mideast on the verge of World War III. If a major war broke out tomorrow or the day after, this week, she says, it would cancel the election in the United States of America and Obama would stay in power. That is one scenario that they could possibly unleash on the human race right now.
Sure.
Because they're getting desperate, she says. They're running scared. We know that. That's why they've turned the internet over to the UN. If you watch the clampdown on our freedom of speech here in the next 2 months, it's going to boggle people's mind what goes on. Now, if Hillary gets in, then this show that we're on today and other shows similar and shows like Chuck and mine are going to be shut down, and she's going to do that. But anyways, all that being said,
I
look at this scenario of canceling the election, and it's one that is a real, real, real possibility.
Well, hold that thought for a second. To some extent, they have already shut down part of this network. There are little networks out there that are no longer functioning, one of which is in the UK. And that's why if you go on ShazizRadio.com in the Super Chat, you'll notice that player is no longer working. All right? Well, there's a backup player button right above there. And if you go on Shaziz.com, then you'll find another player available. So there's multiple players in multiple different places to still listen into, but that doesn't mean that, like over in the UK, I don't know who's in charge of the internet over there, but if they don't like certain things being said or whatever, then certain websites get... I've seen it in the past with other networks. You know, politically reason, things get shut down, or even threats of violence, things get shut down.
Well, the UN now has control over internet, so where is that going to go, Shaziz?
Well, I'm telling you, we the people are just going to have to do what we have to do. We'll have to build our own internet if necessary. But the fact of the matter is, you just can't just give up. Just because these guys are getting gals out there who are corrupt or getting by with stuff, you know, if you look back about 5-6 years ago as opposed to today, The people have more power than they have ever had as far as messaging and information and getting their message out or whatever, you know, rallying together. We are really seriously standing at a point in time right now that the governments of the world fear. The corrupt people of the world fear. Because it's so easy right now to start a campaign online to boycott a company that it's ridiculous. There's so many social media networks out there, and even some of the social media networks out there that are censoring people can't hold back the dam as it's breaking, and all these people, if everybody on Facebook is putting out anti-Hillary or anti-Trump, how are they going to shut them all down? Are they going to censor every single one of them? Are they going to cancel every single account and in the same sense cancel all their advertisers and all their money-making deal? No, at some point they're going to learn, just like the mainstream media has learned, that the people aren't watching the mainstream media anymore like they used to. They're not trusting the mainstream media. There's polls out there about how many percentage of people believe anything coming off of the doggone news anymore.
Yeah, look at the number for CNN now.
Yeah.
It's comical.
Now you watch CNN and MSNBC and ABC, even though it's painful for them to do it, they're talking about things that they wouldn't touch before.
They have to.
They have to do it because they're losing their money.
They're being forced to.
Yeah. And guess who's forcing them?
Who? Us.
We the people. There's a victory. So I'm saying to people out there, and I know that some of the NSA and the secret government agencies, the alphabet soup agencies, some of the guys sitting in their seats right now are probably cheering. Because they're not all bad. Not every person that's an FBI agent or CIA or, you know, Secret Service or whatever, not all of them are bad. Some of them really truly believe in the American dream. And some of them really signed up for that, you know, and they really took their oath serious. It's the ones out there willing to bend the rules to get their particular agenda through or make some money in the process that we got problems with. And we can weed them out. We've been weeding them out. And for whatever you think about WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, or even what's the other guy's, the other guy, that the whistleblower?
Snowden.
If whatever you think about them, America needed this. America needed a slap in the face. I'm American. We needed a slap in the face. We got it. We got a serious slap in the face. And what I mean by that is, we were going down a path where we were complicit and we were allowing too much stuff to go along. This is why we got in the mess that we've got in. That big document that I keep talking about with the bold letters across the top says, "We the people." It doesn't say "we the government." It says "we the people." The Second Amendment wasn't put there for the burglar. It was put there for the government. It was put there for defense in general. And so when you start seeing governments of the world fearing the people enough to where they're going to start trying to make sure the people can't fight back, where you can't talk out, you can't speak out, and speaking out is basically the same as pulling the trigger on a gun, where not necessarily somebody's going to die, could be, because wars have been started over words before, but what you can say with your mouth can spread to all the people out there, and that makes the people up there in charge nervous because they don't want you to know certain things, and they don't want you repeating certain things because they want to keep their job, they want to keep their power, their lifestyle, they want to keep their money. And if you know that they've been stealing your money, then they got problems. You see what I mean?
Mm.
We're not helpless. We never have been. We've been complicit. We've sat back idly by and said, "Oh, look, they stole another election." No. This time around, it's the last straw. It's the straw that broke the camel's back. It's the straw that I guarantee you, without a doubt, you will see the giant, the sleeping giant, which is we the people of the United States, stand up against tyranny. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen with the vengeance. If after everything that they've put out there, all the propaganda and all the controversy about this lady breaking the laws that would have put the average Joe in jail, if she steps foot in that doggone White House, you are going to see a second revolution here in the United States. You're going to see military turn against military, FBI turn against FBI, CIA, all the different agencies out there, including the Border Patrol, and your local dog catcher. You're going to see it. You're going to see the people finally say, "That's it. That's that. I mean, we're done." And I don't want to see it come down to that. I don't want to see brother against brother, nation against nation. You know, the book talks about it. The book gets mocked. If she don't believe there's a God out there, then it's all up to us. It's on us. When it all comes down, ain't no cavalry coming. Ain't no divine intervention coming. You get what you got. Go watch the series Jericho. I'm begging you, each and every one of you who have not seen that show, you go watch that show, and if you don't come away from that with a different outlook on life, whether you're a hardcore anarchist or whatever, you just don't want no government or whatever, you go watch and you see what happened in that. You see how the people turned against the people, how the militaries turned against the military. You see how the books were changed, the history was changed, the propaganda, You see how you couldn't go from one town to the next without having to fear whether somebody was going to steal whatever it was that you had. You ever wondered what it would be like to live in prison? Go watch that.
Seriously. We ask ourselves if we want that for our children. She says,
that's the big question. Is that what you want for your children?
Exactly. And that's what drives me every day, buddy. Every day I get up, I pray every morning for strength to fight what we see coming. Because it's for my children, and it's for people around me that I love, and it's for my human race that I love. We are in a pile of poop right now, guys. Go ahead.
We got opportunity right now to at least steer this boat into another direction and to get something accomplished. Now, if this man, Donald Trump, is actually going to do what he promised, it sounds good in theory, but we got to hold his feet to the fire to ensure that that's exactly what he does. From this point on, we need to be paying attention to laws that are passed. We need to be paying attention to votes that are cast. We need to be paying attention to what's actually occurring in our world. And when we don't agree in a war, we need to stand up en masse. I mean every man, woman, and child standing up en masse and saying no. Flat out, no. It's not the government. It's not the doggone the ruling class, the wealthy, that's going to rush into battle to fight with our brothers and sisters on a foreign land. It's our children. It's our children's children. Those are the ones who's going to sacrifice their lives for somebody else out there who ain't brave enough to lead the charge into battle. You know, I said, if you ever go back and listen to some of these old Black Sabbath songs about, like, the song War Pigs. You know, generals gathered in their masses, you know. They do. They gather around, but they ain't the ones rushing into battle. It's not like the old days where the commander would rush in and lead the charge. No, they're all back in the background. And nowadays they're in their bunkers and talking on radios, giving orders. Yeah, you guys run in there and you guys take care of that deal over there. Fight till your last breath. Am I wrong?
It's the poor people of our country going to fight the poor people of their country.
Yep.
She says, and the people in Halliburton make billions. And that's how wars are set up, and war has got to come to an end because war is nothing but money. And it drives me nuts when I see what goes on in our world today and how we're being manipulated and how people are still in the matrix, how people can't see outside of the bubble. That's a show that we could do for hours, she says. We could talk just on how society has been distracted and how society's minds are being manipulated. Because, you know, 100 years ago, if this kind of crap was going on in the United States of America, the government would be dead. Because the Americans 100 years ago had a lot more moxie than they do today.
Yep.
We see America today as a divided nation where you have so many things dividing our people that it is really hard for the people to come together united under one banner. And if that's the one thing that we have to address as a society, is that we have to start communicating with each other, because the walls of communication have been broken down between the human race. It's been done incrementally over the last 40, 50 years to bring the human race to where we are today. A human race that cannot communicate with each other. And that is the biggest issue I see facing our world today, is that we have to open our hearts to each other and look at each other as fellow humans, not as somebody that I can make a buck off of, or somebody that I can take out and have fun with, or somebody that I can gain something off of.
I agree.
We have to look at each other differently, she says.
I agree, but they made a few mistakes in their incrementalism. They made a few mistakes, and they gave us a few tools that they didn't expect to have backfire on them. Now, the internet just got passed over to, I don't know if it's actually official or, you know, on the way or whatever, but getting passed over to the UN Small Council, if there's going to be control of whatever is said or done on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But once Pandora's box was opened, And they gave the people the access to be able to talk to you. I can talk to you in Canada, Barry. I can talk to people in Russia. I can talk to people in China. I can talk to people all over the world with this device. And I'm finding out that the folks over in Canada like you, I don't want to go to war with Canada. I want to go to war with Russia or China. I like these people over there. My friends are in those nations. You know, my brothers and sisters are all over in every single nation out there. Africa, you know, everywhere. And why would I want to go to war with them? Why would I want to send my children, our young men and women over there to do battle with their young men and women and perpetuate stupidity? No, if there's going to be any fighting to be done in the future,
then it's send the president of that country against our president.
It's the president and the Congress and the Senate need to go over there and fist fight with each other.
Exactly. Put them in a room.
Yeah.
And whoever walks out wins.
That's
it. I put Trump against Trudeau any day.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had that celebrity death match cartoon at one point. What they actually really need in reality is a representative death match, you know. Not necessarily kill each other.
Who are we going to set against Putin?
I don't know, man.
Obama?
Putin would mop the floor with Obama.
Send Michelle.
Putin's into judo.
I wouldn't want to mess with that boy, man.
Oh, no. He knows how to scrap, man.
Well, yeah, he looks like a hardcore Russian, man. It's not the kind of guy you want to mess with. So I don't think Trudeau would have much of a chance. Maybe Trump on his best day, but Obama, I would be betting on Putin.
Well,
but go ahead.
If Putin gets in the ring outside of one of the Chinese guys over there, I don't know. Even a few of the Japanese guys over there, I don't know if Putin would go too well against the Chinese or the Japanese, but... as far as the rest of the crew out there, I'd probably put my money on Putin. You know, but it sounds, I know we're making light of the situation, but I would rather see our representatives who are the ones saying, yeah, you know, let's go into battle. Okay, well, you lead the charge. Let's know what happens. Tell us how it worked out for you. Meanwhile, we the people are going to try to make this world a better place. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, we know that the ruling class and the governments of the world got their own agendas, and we know that evil has its agenda and all this kind of stuff, but I'm saying to everybody out there, until it's over, I don't care. And until the fat lady sings and she drops the very last note, until there is absolutely no hope and there's either divine intervention or total collapse of all humanity, I'm not giving up, and you shouldn't either. You should be vigilant of protecting your family and yourself and your vote and your nation. You should be proud to carry your flag, you know. And Russia needs to be Russia, and China needs to be China, and America needs to be America, just like in the United States. The reason why the United States of America has lasted as long as it has is because the United States of America isn't one individual government. It is a government within a government within a government within a government within a government, all the way down to the local dog catcher. And in order for you to destroy the governmental deal, then that means you have to destroy Washington. You have to destroy the capitals of every single state. You have to destroy the capitals of every single city, every single township, every single village before you can finally completely break down the governmental structure that is the United States of America, which was a brilliant tactic to separation of powers. And if all the nations kept their own name, kept their own flag, kept their own sovereignty, there are the separation of powers necessary. But the wisdom to use that power in a manner in which you're not going out there trying to attack somebody who isn't attacking you is the difference between what we've seen in the past and what we could see in the future if we all would decide that it's time to come together. Not under some one world government or some, you know, UN, you know, banner or whatever. No. Under your own banner, meeting in the middle, just like everybody else. You see what I mean? It sounds undoable, don't it? Because if you look at history...
That's a big order. It really is. Like I said previously, what we have to do is break down the barriers before we can do that. Which is because society is so divided.
Well,
it's going to be very difficult. United States now, if you look at United States now, all the multiculturalism, all the different ethnic groups that are in the United States of America, you look at the 52 million Americans that are on food stamps, to get them to turn against their government that is feeding them is going to be a monumental task.
We're not saying turn against your government. That's not the deal. The issue is this. See,
change the government.
That's
the government has to be changed from the bottom up. So you have to turn against the establishment.
The governmental system is fine. It's not broken. It's not the system that's broken. It's the people that are broken that are in the government.
What I'm saying, Shazis?
You go in incrementally. It's like your car. You know, if your tire falls off your car, you don't junk the car. You put the new tire on there. You see what I mean?
And that's pretty
much what you're saying, right? Is that you...
Well, all tires need to be changed because the American government has been taken over by foreign interests.
Well,
the Federal Reserve is run by offshore banks.
If all four of your tires are bald, that's all
got to change.
If all four of your tires are bald, you put all brand new tires on there that are going to do the job. You know? You don't trash the whole car just because. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because the alternative to what we've got now is total chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need that. We got enough chaos in what we got. But the fact that we can sit here and debate and talk back and forth to each other and discuss and put out information and at least have this, even if it's a heated debate, even if we all not agreeing, at least right. All right. So that's what happens when you talk about things that you're not supposed to talk about. So... let me try to get Skype back up and running and try to get everybody back in the call. And we'll continue where we was. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'm
the Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
And we are back. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. See, folks, that's what happens whenever you talk about things that certain folks don't want you to talk about. It's fine. It's all well and good. We're back. Just another aggravation in the whole grand scheme of things. Hi, Muddy. Are you there?
Yeah, I was just relating to that thing there. Seemed like I talk about a lot of things people don't want me to talk about. But... Hey, where'd Barry go? I saw his picture here, and then he just disappeared as I joined into the conversation.
Barry had to step out. He had some things accomplished. He's pretty much in the same mindset we are. This old election craziness going on out there. I'm trying to put it out there on people's minds to, you know, to get their act together and be vigilant, like Thomas Jefferson said, you know, and... hold these people's feet to the fire. It ain't the government that's, it's not the system that's broken. It's the people that's running the doggone thing. It's the people that's supposedly overseeing the doggone thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's Skype that's, broken or the radio show. I think it's the government.
No, it ain't. Yeah, it's not Skype.
Look. Here's my point. The other day, we found out that the FBI re-indicted Hillary Clinton on these email things. And then she made her little speech, and boy, she made it really short, and said, and then we'll take questions. She wasn't out there about 7 minutes. And, you know, and in that time, she was saying this, and this is my point. This is the flag that everybody, I hope everybody caught, but I bet most missed it. She said, there's nothing to worry about, and I just, we're in their case, and we want them to come out here and tell us exactly what it is, because they want to take care of it as fast as they can. That's number one. The other thing, she was encouraging people, and I encourage everyone to go out and get your early vote in. And boy, that just told me, yep, she's guilty. She wants that vote to come in before they put it out, because you can't change your vote later. So, and, yeah, that's the thing. Once you vote, it's not. So, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't rant and push on much, but that's the one point I really wanted to put out.
Well, you know...
She wants that early vote.
You know, if after everything that has been said and done and, you know... Even the WikiLeaks and the, what was the other guy's name? We just said it earlier. Doggone whistleblower. Can't remember the dude's name now.
Yeah, it gets that way when you get old like us.
Snowden.
I can't remember either. Snowden. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Snowden. Alright, look. I'm saying the American people needed a slap in the face. You know, we needed a wake-up call because... this election is going to be more important than you could possibly imagine, because this election is going to determine whether or not we're in World War III or the Second Civil War, period. Because...
or if we got martial law and all that crap.
Yeah, you know, I'm not worried about martial law. Who ought to really seriously be worried about martial law are the military and the government elite who would go along with said martial law. They better understand that when it comes down to an all-out, they're going to try to go around and disarm the citizens of the United States of America, they're going to fail, and they're going to fail miserably. So the last thing that they should want is a second revolution. Whoever decided to destabilize the United States via propaganda or rigging of elections or even the appearance of a rigging of election... they think that they're going to have an agenda that's actually going to come about, you know, their one world government or whatever, you know. But it ain't going to play out like that. What's going to end up happening, and you can put these words down and you can put them back in your diary and refer back to them within 5 years after what I just said. What's going to happen is, the United States of America will be literally no man's land. Everybody will send their criminals here from now on. It will be worst case scenario there will not be no government. There won't be any kind of structure. There won't be any kind of army, standing army or whatever, outside of an all-out nuclear conflict to where the United States was literally wiped off the map. There ain't going to be no government in the United States of America ever again if this one ever fails. I guarantee you. Without a doubt.
Up until you said the word nuclear, it sounded just like 1492. Nothing but a bunch of criminals coming over here. No government. And it's back to the beginning then, huh?
Let me give you an example that can be seen physically. Check out the Middle East. All right, what's going on in the Middle East? Do they have any serious government structure over there? No, they got tribes that battle with each other. They got different sects of different belief systems that battle with each other. Been battling with each other for thousands of years now. All right? Fighting over the Holy Land or whatever. For whatever purpose. They're still fighting. They've been fighting ever since I was born. They'll be fighting long after I'm gone. All right? And that's exactly what the whole doggone United States will look like. They'll be individual states fighting amongst each other. There ain't going to be no standing armies anymore. They're going to be just all in all out mess. You go look at that series Jericho and you're going to see a vision of what the United States will be after this is all said and done. It ain't going to be pretty.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time.
So essentially, America will be nothing more than a wasteland war zone where everybody will send people they don't care about to because, hey, don't go over there to America unless you want to die. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. Because if you start killing my family, you start killing my neighbor's family, and you think that we're just going to sit by and allow that? You think that we're going to allow governments and police agencies to round us up and take us to camps? No, it ain't going to happen like that. You think you're going to run up in a bunker and keep continuity of government? No, you're going to have farmers with tractors. You're going to have guys with bulldozers and bobcats and doggone concrete trucks. And they're going to seal up every exit, every entrance, every air hole in that doggone bunker. You ain't coming out ever again. Yeah. It's not going to be pretty. So, for all these folks that thought, well, we'll just destabilize America, get us all up in World War III, depopulate the planet or whatever, send people to FEMA camps, it's not going to play out like that. It's not going to play out. Russia's not going to come over here with their army and conquer the United States. China's not going to come over here and conquer the United States. And here's the reason why. Because inside America, there are Chinese, there are Japanese, there are Africans, there are Muslims, there are Hindus, there are everybody from every single nation who have finally tasted freedom, some resemblance of freedom, and they're not going to turn that loose without the biggest fight of your life.
Hey, you know what? When they go underground, you know, and they close them doors, they got to breathe some air. So there's an air vent somewhere that comes up to get the air. I plan on putting a toilet lid on it.
My point is this. You know, these guys think...
truck up. That'll work.
These guys think they got it all figured out. And even the protesters out there think they got it all figured out. The people out there stealing elections think they got it all figured out. But what's going to happen is it's going to backfire in their face with a vengeance, because once the dragon's awake, once the sleeping giant's is up and riled, you're on the menu. All of you.
What was that statement there? A house that is divided amongst itself, not stand?
Yep.
They all want to be chief and power of this and power of that. They all want to have control.
Well, World War III would be the saving grace for the entire human race if this country falls. And I know that sounds a terrible thing to say, because we're talking all-out thermonuclear war between all nations. There ain't going to be no survivors, not even the guys and gals in the bunker. It ain't going to happen. But it's better just to get it all over with just to end it all, then to keep repeating the same stupidity year after year, decade after decade, century after century, just keep on repeating the same doggone stupidity over and over again. The wars need to stop. The ignorance needs to stop. These people out here who believe that we need to depopulate the planet or consider humans to be roaches, and the folks out there who don't believe in God or whatever, it don't matter to me whether you believe in God or not. You ought to be the first one in line to try to protect the doggone structure of our society, because from what you say, there ain't going to be no divine intervention. There ain't going to be no cavalry rushing in. There ain't going to be... It's up to you. It's up to me. Where our destiny lies, if there is no divine intervention, if there is no cavalry coming, if there ain't no alien mothership coming down here to save us from ourselves, you ought to be worried. Because as it stands...
How about the people that are so smart that they believe that we should depopulate the earth? What's that old saying? Lead by example?
Yeah.
You know, I'll buy the cyanide for
Well, we're not into going out fighting with the brothers and sisters around the world. We're trying to take a higher step in society and look back and say, look, the Romans didn't work out so well. They finally collapsed. You know, the Nazism thing, that didn't work out so well. A lot of people died, all right? And so on and so forth, throughout the entire history. People trying to conquer the world. It didn't work out so well. The world ain't been conquered. And so, with that said, if you think that you're going to try to pull the entire world under one united banner, under one country or one nation or whatever, you're fooling yourself. Russia needs to be Russia. China needs to be China. Japan needs to be Japan. America needs to be America, just like the continuity of government inside the United States of America, the separation of powers, the Senate, the Congress, the President, and all the way down to your local dog catcher. A government within a government within a government is the only reason why America has lasted this long. Because if it would have been left to its own devices and the government would have become all powerful and the people had not no Second Amendment or any constitution to protect their rights as humans, then it would have been a done deal. We'd be running amok doing what the man said, because otherwise we're going to die. Ask those folks over there in communist China whether or not they feel like they got a voice. Ask them. Ask them in North Korea whether or not they feel like they got a voice. When you see a video of a child that is sitting in a setting where basically people are sitting around eating, and because he has no money, he doesn't get to eat, and he's picking up scraps that people dropped on the dirt, that's a shame. That is a disgusting, downright blight on humanity. That is a black eye for all of humanity that any child would have to dig in the mud for a scrap of food. While other adults are sitting around eating, and this child is digging in the dirt for food. Now, when this world finally realizes that every single child out there should be held on a pedestal, every single child out there should be taken care of. If you raise these children in love and you raise them to understand that you cared for them, they're going to care for their children. And this chain can be broken forever. But if you're a non-believer in a divine power, the only ones that can do it is us. You can sit by and say, well, you know, it's out of my country, it's out of my control, there ain't nothing I can do about it. Well, then you get what you got. If you stand on the fence during the election and you don't get out there and at least make your voice heard, even if your vote gets stolen, then you ain't got no complaint. You got what you got. And if you stand idly by while there's a war getting ready to go or in process, and you don't stand up and say no, then you get what you got. If your elected officials out there are corrupt and they're stealing and lying and doing things that you would go to prison for, and you don't stand up and at least open your mouth and speak, then you get what you got. There are 9 billion people on this planet. A tiny majority rule this planet. And for money, for greed, for power, or whatever, they do the things that they do. We need to stand up. We need to stand up to evil. We need to speak out when it's time to speak out. That's all there is to it. Otherwise, you're complicit. And if you don't believe the cavalry's coming, then guess what? You're standing there, and it's your battle. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to go out and quiet the dog. I had the mic off. I missed it.
You missed it?
Yeah, the dog started barking.
Well, I call myself Christian because I believe in Christ. I believe in God. For that, I get mocked and ridiculed, because if I try to talk about it, then I get mocked and ridiculed because there's people that just don't believe. That's their business. Let me finish. That's their business. All right? But what my point is to those folks out there who are Scientology or atheist or don't believe or any kind of higher power or any kind of divine intervention, that means that mankind...
Don't forget the agnostics.
Yeah, whatever label they choose, all right? That means that mankind is responsible for mankind's destiny. And what we've seen from the past is mankind hasn't done a very good job of being vigilant and actually taking care of business. And so, basically, the cavalry's not coming. Alright? There's no divine intervention. There's no God. It's just we, the people, and we are going to either fight amongst each other and destroy what we have, or we're going to work together and build this nations of the world back up to where they should be, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, and to heal the sick. We are the only ones who will ever be able to do anything for anybody out there. And so if we choose to live in a rogue warrior style mentality, it's not God you got to blame. It's you and me. We the people. We the people can be patriotic and gather our armies in masses and go over and mop a country into the Stone Age. But we can't find the strength to gather our people in masses and our trucks and our planes and our trains and all the different things that we got stored away in warehouses and stuff, and take that stuff over there and hand it to these people and help them with our skills to build houses and irrigation. Are you serious? Well, we can kill them, but we can't feed them.
Years ago, they had a program, I don't know if they still have it, but I call it exchange students, where kids from other countries could come here and get to send kids from our country over to their country to go to school to learn different ways that we do things. How about the engineering trade-off or farming trade-off, where Russia sends some of their farmers over here, they're young farmers, you know, and they live with a farming family. This farming family sends their young people over there who live in the farming family learn how they do the farming. Because Russia has totally different types of climate and soil. You know? So the kids over there come here and learn what kind of soil we got and how things grow here, and at the same time teach us here how they do things over there. So that could not work here. Well, our kids over there. It's an exchange of agriculture.
Yeah.
Agriculture of knowledge. What about that?
It's brilliant. Your microphone's cutting out real bad. I don't know if you got to move closer to it or what, but...
Audio adjustments. It's hearing the speakers and trying to put anti-feedback on it, which cuts the volume of the mic, so the beginning and the end of all his words disappear.
Yeah. So, basically what I'm trying to say to everybody out there, you should already know. I mean, we see that the track record of the supposed representation that we've got in all of our nations isn't very good. And if there's somebody who's getting ready to be elected that has broken so many doggone laws that would have put you under the jail, then there's a problem that needs to seriously be addressed. These mainstream medias that lie to you continuously, you got to stop supporting them. You got to stop watching them, period. When their ratings drop down and their advertisers bail out because they're not, their commercials aren't being seen, then they're going to change their tune. And we have seen, literally seen, and heard the mainstream media change their tone on things. They're now talking about things that they wouldn't have touched before because it was considered to be conspiratorial. But now, they're actually talking about it. They don't want to talk about it, but they're talking about it because they're realizing that the citizen journalist and the alternative media is mopping them. It's mopping the floor with them.
Yeah. So
this whole plan that the global elite of the world got going on, it's backfiring on you guys and gals. It's failing. It's failing miserably because you have pushed the American people and the people of the world into the corner. And once you get in that corner, there ain't no place but out. There ain't no place but straight ahead through the mess. You have pushed all the people of this planet into the corner, and you're expecting that you can run up inside your bunker and have continuity of government while you set us out here to fight amongst each other and destroy what's left of our world? Wrong. Your idea failed. Your depopulation of the planet failed. You're getting control and the power and taking away people's liberties and sovereignty? Fail. So,
I think everything they do backfires on them somehow.
Oh, sure it does. But not before it backfires on us.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And the thing about it is, you know, they overlooked a few things. They overlooked it once they opened up Pandora's box, that there was no way to shut the lid again. And they inadvertently gave us the tools in the process of their craziness trying to spy on us. They gave us the tools to fight back. It ain't like back in the old days where you pick up your newspaper and you're either misinformed or whatever, like Raymond said, but whoever controlled the newspaper controlled the news and controlled the people. It ain't like that anymore. I can call China, I can call Russia, I can call Japan, I can call Canada, I can call all over the place using their tools that they use to spy on me. I know they listen to me, and I hope they listen well. Because if you go up into this doggone bunkers, you're not coming back out. If you try to take the American people down forcefully, you're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably. Because these people here that are Americans, they're from every nation. The melting pot. They've tasted freedom. They're not going to let you take it away from them. Anyone of you guys disagree with that? Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah, I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said something to the effect of when the people fear the government, that's terrorism. But when the government fears the people, that's called liberty.
Yep. That's right. And if you're living in fear of your government, then you got an issue that is supposed to be addressed by that piece of paper that everybody mocks and ridicules that says "We the People" in bold print on the top. That piece of paper wasn't there to protect the government. That piece of paper was there to protect the people. The Second Amendment isn't there for the burglar. It is there for the government. It is there as a warning, as a deterrent, that if you do what you said you were going to do and you represent the people, everything's going to be fine. But if necessary, if only necessary, that we have to take our country back by force, that's why that Second Amendment's in there. That's why they want to deplete it. Because they can't have their one world government and the foreign armies. The reason why they don't come over here, basically come in with a on foot, bring our military to our shores, is for the same doggone reason why nobody won Vietnam. Because you didn't know who the enemy was. Period. Ain't no
like they're all in the bush.
That's right. Behind every blade of grass is a gun. And it's even worse. That's why America stood as long as it has. We're here over a couple hundred years now. And it's because The government is divided up into a government within a government within a government within a government with separation of powers in each and every one of those sections of the government and all the way down to the standing militia, which is each and every citizen of the United States of America. That's the only reason why this country has lasted this long, because we've had the opportunity to be able to argue amongst each other and to point out the rights and try to make things that are wrong right. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So essentially, if any standing army out there decides they want to come in to conquer the United States, their best bet is to try to nuke us out of existence, because they're not coming in here with their armies. It was tried in Vietnam. Look how well that went. They even sprayed crud to try to defoliage the doggone land so their armies over there couldn't have a place to hide. They were dressed in uniforms like you could pick the American soldier out really easy because he had camouflage on or whatever, you know. And you could tell what side he was on. But the other guys, it was just the average Joe out there, kids with grenades running up on people. It was a mess. Vietnam had to be one of the most horrifying wars in the history of time because it was that bad. You didn't know who your enemy was. Just like you're not going to know when you step foot on the American shores and decide you're going to take down the American people. We're not going to take the time to jump in camouflage to tell you that we're on your side or theirs. We're going to watch, and if you're trying to hurt our family, we're going to hurt you back. That's the way it's going to happen. It's not going to be something that you want. This whole destabilization of America, when America falls, the rest of the world's going to follow. I'm telling you that. It's just as simple as that.
Well, it seems like it happened somewhere else first and then comes here.
Well, look at the Middle East, buddy. How many years have they been fighting over in the Middle East?
There will never be peace in the Middle East. I just know that.
Well, once the doggone, basically the Americans have been turned into a version of the Middle East. You know, I've even heard arguments that say that
the system of government over there is a bunch of clans all fighting each other.
Yeah. Well, what do you think it'd be like here? How many biker gangs is over here? How many street gangs? How many thugs? How many different organizations? It doesn't matter. The reds versus the blues. It doesn't matter. And all the different states, when the states start succeeding from the union because they disagree with what's going on, the wars and all that kind of stuff, you're going to have civil wars amongst this state and that state. Brother against brother, sister against sister. It'd be an ugly mess. It won't be nothing. There won't be nothing left to salvage, man.
Best way to take care of all your enemies is make your enemies fight each other.
Yeah.
So I think let's look over there at over there in Europe, man. You're looking over in Germany, and I mean, let all. What is a refugee? A refugee is supposed to be somebody that comes to you for help, not terrorize your nation.
Yeah, but let me point something out to you. Check this out.
The government's setting that up to get the people to fight each other up. I mean, it's starting there, and it's going to come here next.
When they were in the midst of their civil war over there, when they destabilized those nations over there, when those folks were in the midst of their own civil war, fighting their own battle between each other, they come in with no-fly zones and started bombing and trying to help the side out they wanted. If they would have left that alone, that probably would have died down. One side or the other would have won. You'd have known who you was fighting against or whatever. But what ended up happening was they just made the situation worse. They went in and drone strike people they thought was terrorists, or if the wrong side was winning, they'd go in and try to balance the power out. By doing that, all they did was just perpetuate the same war over and over again, because those folks now, the citizens were getting tired. They wanted to get out of there. So that's where the refugees came in. But it wasn't just refugees coming in. It was some of the people that we were supposedly fighting against, the terrorists that were coming in as well. And then it got into, like, Europe. Look what happened over there. It was a mess. It still is a mess. Now they're talking about the European people being so mad about the situation that they're in an uproar. You see what's going on here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. We talked about terrorism. We talked about liberty and where the fear is. But what about... So here we got Hillary with the FBI thing on the emails, trying to find out if she's a threat to our security. Well, then, you know, that would call her a terrorist, right?
Well, she's already said.
Hang on. And that would also make her a traitor. And they hang traitors and execute them. So here's the deal, man. If our government's taking us down doing the same thing and we're not feeling very secure, who's the terrorist? Who's the traitor?
Well, I see what you're saying, but it came right out of her mouth. She's already accused Russia of hacking the email. She's already said that she would attack Iran. Iran, what she's saying is you and me in America, the average Joe is going to be willing to attack Iran just because she was elected. You see what I mean?
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Maybe they did. Maybe Russia doesn't like Hillary Clinton because they know what she stands for. There's many more things that they haven't even brought up in court or allegations of a lot of charges that Hillary is definitely involved in.
Well, if the Russians
she needs to be punished. There's no. We already had one president. It didn't even have a right to be a president by his birthright. And had been taking down the religion and tearing up the United States. We went from $9 trillion to $21 trillion in debt. Come on, man. Who's the terrorist?
Yeah.
Who's the traitor? Yeah, we don't need another one. Well, if anything, I think maybe Putin's trying to help.
Well,
his own way and really doesn't want to go to war.
If Russia, that's
his way of taking care of the lizard head that doesn't belong up there because he knows it means terror for the whole world.
I believe that if Russians did, I don't care whether it was Russian or WikiLeaks or whoever hacked it, they gave America what America needed then. Some doggone, flat-out, honest truth. All right? So, yeah. You know, America needed a wake-up call. And if this election is anything at all, it's America's wake-up call because you've already heard her track record. You've heard what Trump said. And if Trump follows through what he said, fine and dandy. But if he doesn't follow through what he said, the American people right now need to seriously contemplate on changing this government over. And I don't advocate a second revolution. I've already explained why. There ain't going to be no winner of a second civil war in the United States. What I advocate is that you make sure that your vote counts from here on out, that you are eternally vigilant. You pay attention to everything they said, and unlike what Nancy Pelosi said, we got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. No, you got to read it before you pass it. You got to explain what's in it before you pass it. Know what's in it before you pass it, because you're there to represent us. You work for us.
The last whole three presidencies have been nothing but a continuous false flag, one after another. There wasn't a single threat or emergency that wasn't a false flag. That's the track record.
Well,
and we went from being hero around the world to everybody to zero around the world to everybody. From hero to zero in no time.
Well, people immigrate to the United States of America for freedom. And if it wasn't for America having freedom that they couldn't enjoy in their own nations, they wouldn't have never came here. And now that they're here, some of them want to turn around and leave because they figured out that, hey, wait a second, it's getting worse over here than it was where I came from.
Yeah, next step is come on over, all you immigrants who are refugees, come on over here. We'll give you more hospitalization. We'll even give you money to start businesses. We'll kiss your wazoo until it hurts. And then you can rape our women in the street and play terrorist games.
No, see, that's not going to play. That's not going to play out over here because...
We got too many rednecks, man.
That's right.
We got too many rednecks, and they want to take our guns? Oh, no. That ain't going to play over here.
You're going to try to come over and start chopping off heads of Christians. They're going
to
find
all
out.
You got to do, all you got to do is wink at a redneck's girl, man, and you got to fight.
That's right.
There ain't going to be none of this. You're going to have to wear a chastity belt and armor for all your women now. That ain't happening. That's not the redneck way. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk? Who is America? I say a good portion of it is rednecks.
Well, regardless of whether they're rednecks, hippies, freaks, geeks, or weirdos, you got to admit the American people have gone pretty much bonkers in the last 20 years. And so now you're not going to be messing with the average Joe, man. You're going to be messing with something worse.
You look old Waylon and Willie, and you think these guys are just happy party people. They are, but they're going to, you know what? They're going to stand for the United States.
That's right. And for all these government agencies out here that like to do the denial of service hacks on people while they're trying to spread a good message, hey, do what you do. We're going to keep coming back, one right after another. We're going to keep coming back. We're going to keep saying what we got to say in order to wake the rest of the people up. The
country boy can survive.
That's right. The people are awakening, and they're getting fed up. They are fed up, and this election is going to be proof positive of it. If this election goes over smoothly and it can be trusted that it wasn't fraudulent, then you might get cooperation. But if it goes over the way that it's been shown so far, you know, people being getting by with crimes that other guys would have went to prison for, no, it ain't going to happen like that.
Hey, I know how to stop the voter fraud. Anybody that's voting for Trump, when you come out, as soon as you walk out that door, say, I voted for Trump. And people are going to realize that if 90% of the people come out voting for Trump and all of a sudden Hillary wins, and you know it was voter fraud, and you can go right to that office and say, what happened?
Yeah, there's a deal spreading about when you come out, when you go out on election day to wear red whether shirt, hat, or whatever, as to show who you voted for. And so you'll probably see blue shirts that day too, but I'll bet you anything you're going to see a ton of sea of red because people are fed up. They're fed up with the lies and the propaganda.
Vote for who you want, but when you step out that door, shout the name out.
I'm buying a red armband today. I wear it every day until after the election. And I wear it for a week after the election just to let everybody know who I am voting for.
That's right.
Well, they opened Pandora's box. They woke the sleeping dragon, the giant, and right now all eyes are on the government, all eyes are on the media, and so they're walking on eggshells right now.
Just stop the secret vote.
And
yeah, you're right, buddy.
I pity you.
If you believe what you believe in, you ought to stand up for it. You ought to say you're a Christian.
You guys are cutting each other off.
We're enthusiastic, buddy.
Yeah. Well, either way, I pity Trump if he's a liar. I pity Trump if he gets elected and doesn't follow through with what he said, because I can guarantee you Trump industry is going to fall on its face if he gets elected and doesn't follow through with what he said. I believe he will. I believe he will do what he said. If he don't at this stage in the game, when he gets in there, it'll be the shortest presidency in the history of time. You mark my words. If he gets in there and starts doing what he said he was going to do and starts holding people accountable and cleaning house, then he'll have the full support of the American people. But if he gets in there and he starts going to the status quo of what we've seen so far, I guarantee you it'll be the shortest presidency in the history of time.
I'll tell you what, if he does get elected, and he does what he says he's going to do, I guarantee you more than half of the Hillary supporters will join his side.
Yep.
That is a promise for Boomer.
He goes in there and he holds people accountable and he cleans house. If he doesn't, then I'm pretty sure we're probably going to go up there and hold him accountable, and we're going to clean the White House.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Because people are fed up.
That's it. And all these agencies out there, the NSA, the FBI, and all you guys out there, hold your leaders accountable, because I'm telling you what, it don't matter what color your uniform is. If you push these people into the back, if you push the American people into the corner, like you've been doing, you get them locked in that corner, and there's only one way out, and that's through you. God help your soul, man.
You know, there's only one thing, I honestly believe there's only one thing that could stop Trump from doing what he says he's going to do, and that is if the government fights it back and people don't stand up and support it.
Well, the people right now, I believe, are standing up and they're supporting it. The people right now are talking about election fraud. The people right now are talking about wearing red shirts and armbands and documenting their vote to ensure that this goes over right. And the people who are actually out there stirring the pot, wringing their hands in joy that America's gone, crazy, so to speak, their agenda is going to backfire in their face with the extreme vengeance, with extreme prejudice. I guarantee you, without a doubt, this election is going to probably be the most exciting election in the history of this nation. You can take that to the bank. Because we're done. We're fed up. We people are tired of listening to liars on the media. We're tired of listening to liars in the government. We're tired of our children and our military being abused. We're tired of our soldiers coming back with missing limbs and body parts and worse. We're tired of our veterans being disgraced and not taken care of. We're tired of our the entire system, the way it's being run. We're tired. We're just tired.
It's not run by the United States government. It's run by the people that try to make them into puppets. We've been voting for bend over for many years now.
Well, we're not anymore. Right now, we're voting for the guy that the mainstream media hate. We're voting for the guy that the mainstream establishment hate. He better be what he presents himself as.
He will.
Everybody hates Trump. Everybody that's an elite hates Trump. I love it, man.
Well, that's why I like him. I like him because he talks like an average Joe. He's got the same doggone words coming out of his mouth that we got. It's time to hold your feet to the fire. It's time to put the criminals in jail where they belong. It's time to put our country back together. We got a clean house before we go over messing with other nations that we shouldn't even be bothering with.
You know, he made a lot of deals and everything like that, and a lot of them backfired and went down, you know, and he's lost a lot of money, and it was all due to people trying to manipulate everything around him and take him down. But he's figured out how to take the adversity and turn it into a winning situation. And that's how he got rich, and the media made him. And now he's taking down the media, and even the media hate him. You know, he's learned how to take all the negatives and make them work for him. Oh, well, I didn't make any money, and you want me to pay taxes? Sorry. Well, maybe next time. It's all the advantages of everything that goes bad. It's kind of like a hurricane, or say a tornado comes through your poor little town. There's no jobs. All of a sudden, everybody's working. There's money. There's lots of construction. Everybody has a job. Trump understands this, and he knows how to manipulate it. And I believe that's what he's, you know, he's out here. He's fighting. He's making lots. He loves to stand up front of the crowd and have them cheer for him. And I've seen way in the past when he was young, he was talking he wanted to become president and he'd die for the country. And
yeah, but see, back then he said...
That's what got me convinced, and I really want to see that. If he lets me down, I'm going to be real.
Back then, he said he wouldn't do president unless he was needed, and now he's needed. And like I said, man, I hope the NSA and the FBI listening in on my voice right now, because I am representative of the average Joe. I want peace and I want love for my community and my fellow brothers and sisters around the world. I get the shirt off my back just like Muddy or Raymond would give the shirt off their back for anybody out there in need. And we're not ones that want to go out and fight with people. We're trying to bring about a peaceful resolution. And so with that said, you got our backs in the corner and you keep pushing us back. And when there is no other alternative, we can't go around you, we're coming through you. And you better take that to the bank. You better take that serious, because it ain't going to matter what kind of badge you got. It ain't going to matter what kind of uniform you're wearing. When you back the American people so far as that you're deciding you're going to come around and try to disarm them, you're going to try to hurt their families or relocate them and that kind of stuff, buddy, you better stand back and watch. There's an old saying, you don't mess with Texas. That's one of my, I love Texas. I don't
yeah, we're recalling all our gold from all the banks and everything and bringing it here to Texas. We don't want credit in the numbers. We want the gold.
Well, I'd like to see the United States of Texas, because Texans, they know.
I'll give him one thing. He also studied Boston, and he studied Ronald Reagan. Now, Ross Perot probably would have won the election if he was a Democrat or a Republican, but he was one of the off leaders. So Trump learned, they said, well, if you're going to win the president, you got to be one of the two main ones, because the media will not give attention to the other ones. The only media they gave to Ross Perot was when he was cracking a joke.
Oh, yeah.
They say, look at the funny man with the big ears. And he studied Reagan.
Well,
and that's why he's got that slogan of, let's make America great again.
As far as my concern... As far as I'm concerned, the mainstream media is responsible for 90% of this mess out there, because they're the ones that spread the lies and the propaganda in order to further their own agenda and fatten up their wallets.
I remember when Reagan got in and he lowered the taxes. He darn sure did. He lowered the taxes, and there were jobs for so many people, and the people made more money and paid more taxes than they had in years because they had the money.
Well,
that's what Reagan did, and he studied Ross Perot and he studied Reagan.
Well,
I like that.
Times were good during Reagan era.
He found out what was their downfalls, and he eliminated it, and he took the two, put them together, and that's what he's trying to do. And he's definitely awake and aware.
Reagan actually set in place things that Clinton took credit for.
Yeah.
But that's all right. You know, it don't matter who does the work. It matters the fruits of your labor. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, what we do today is going to define the world we live in tomorrow. And so with that said, to all the doggone federal agencies out there and the knuckleheads that are trying to divide and conquer this country, you're biting off more than you can chew. That's
and did you know that Ross Perot bailed the United States out of debt twice?
Yeah.
Well, and all they wanted to do was make fun of him. He would have made a good president, I do believe.
If he was elected president, we wouldn't be having these problems today.
Well, I even thought Ron Paul would be a good one.
He educated people as to what was going on so that they'd agree with his decision. Because he wanted people to realize what common sense really is. Common sense is a form of genius. There's some people out here that are so smart they have no common sense. And I could tell you some stories and you'd be a believer. But well, common sense, there's a different kind of genius out here. Nothing but common sense.
Well, that's what we're trying to use right here, some common sense. And common sense dictates if you take us over the cliff, over to the great abyss, there ain't no coming back from that. And
I vote King Chiziz for president, but I value you as my friend, and I like to see you live a little longer.
Yeah, I'd get assassinated, man.
I ain't seen a president get into office that his head didn't turn gray immediately, no.
Well, I'll tell you what. You would see something just totally out of the norm whenever I walked into the White House. You'd see me carrying in a broom and a dustpan, and when the media said, well, what's the broom and the dustpan for? I said, I'm getting ready to clean house.
Yeah, get in the dustpan before I sweep you in there.
That's right. Every roach and every corrupt individual's leaving. That's the way it's coming down.
with your Don King haircut.
That's right.
Silver, Bubba. Make it show up.
That's exactly.
Make sure they put a black background behind you.
Mad science hair and all. I'll be walking in the White House with a broom. I'll be walking into the Senate and the Congress with a broom and a dustpan. I'll be saying, look, if you trash, head to the trash bin because that's where you take. That's where I'm taking you.
A Tesla coil in every pot.
That's right. There'll be investigations in every corner of the government. And I'd turn every light on in the Senate and the Congress. You want to talk about global warming and carbon emissions? Man, the whole entire state of Washington would be like lit up because I'd be wanting to show, look, there's a Roachnet corner. Look what that one over there is doing. Clean house. Pick you up a trash bag. Let's get to work.
Put the birds on the endangered species list, and for every one you kill, you wind up having to take a year.
Can I be Secretary of Interior?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, man. That's what needs to be done. And I hope that's what Trump's intentions are, is to go in and clean house. Because if he goes in there and he tries to further an agenda that's got to do with only making himself money or more power, it's going to fail. It's going to backfire on him because the eyes are not just on the mainstream media. The eyes are not just on the alphabet soups of the government agencies. The eyes are not just on Senate and Congress and the White House. The eyes are on all the candidates. The eyes are on everything under the sun. When WikiLeaks threw all that stuff up out of there, they did America a favor. They slapped America upside the head and said, you better wake up because this is what they're getting ready to do to you. When I don't care whether it was Russia that did it or Snowden or Julian Assange or any of the ones out there, the whistleblowers out there, they did us a favor because America needed a wake-up call. We were going down the same doggone path, repeating over and over again. We had politicians breaking the law. We had politicians saying, we got to pass this bill before we find out what's in it. Are you serious? You got to read it before you pass it. You got to know what's in it before you pass it.
Boomer, you ever bought a property without looking at it?
He went on vacation.
I bet you never bought anything off of eBay without knowing what it is.
Well, anyway, you like to at least go look at the product at the store before you buy it.
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, what's going on right now is an all-in-all-out peaceful rebellion of the mainstream media and the government, and even within the government, even within the mainstream media. You're now hearing the mainstream media talking about things they normally wouldn't have touched because they're being forced to because they're losing money. They're losing subscribers and advertisers hand over fist. They're feeling the wrath of the people of this world because the people of this world are fed up. It's not just the American citizens who are interested in this election. It's other countries out there because it might determine the difference between whether we end up with war with them or against them. Depending on who walks in that White House and what they're willing to do for the global elite.
You notice at the Trump rallies they show the crowd and it looks like Woodstock.
Yeah.
And they show the on the other rallies where Hillary Clinton's in, it she calls it a huge crowd and it's kind of sparse. It's kind of spread out and sparsely populated in there. And then it seems like they're all told when to applaud, when to this. There's no real. It's like they're all. Psychopaths or sociopaths, they have to be told, oh, you're supposed to be happy now. Everybody smile, applaud, this and that. But you get to the Trump rally, he has to wait for them to calm down.
Yeah.
Now there's the enthusiasm.
That's because the people see Donald Trump as one of them. And that's, he because the mainstream media hates him, they love him. Because the government hates him, they love him.
And because he hates the government,
he's an idiot.
They're sick and tired of false flags.
Well, I'm telling you what, man. This is definitely going to be an interesting election. So those folks out there committing voter fraud, you better watch it. I'm telling you better watch it.
No,
it's
man.
Coming back on you. You're stepping into an alligator pit. You're stepping into a swarm of bees such as the American people, unlike anything you've ever seen in the history of time. You tamper with this election and it comes to light, don't matter. It don't matter. Because the people are done. I hate to say it, but they're done. And God forbid we ever end in the second Civil War, because there will be no winners on either side. There will be no winners in World War III. What we're talking about is the total annihilation, the total downfall of all of humanity once either or break out. It's a done deal. And once we're into that, over that hill into the great abyss, there ain't no coming back. The world you live in isn't going to be the world you thought you were going to get. And you're not going to run up in your bunkers and survive the apocalypse. You're going to be out here enjoying it with us. The suffering is going to be all hands on deck. If you do make it up in your bunkers, you just walked into your tomb because you ain't coming back out. That's the way it's going to play. Mark my words. Y'all can laugh in my face. You can do denial service hacks on the network. You can do everything you can to try to shut the voice down, but Pandora's box is open and the people have spoken.
Well, I used to keep 2 or 3 computers running. One would, they'd shut one down, I'd go right to the next one. And they figured it out after a bit and left me alone. They did, I don't know, maybe they'd be a little bit more prepared now, but, you know, I liked having 2 broadcasters sitting side by side and a 3rd computer already booted and ready. It's, I don't know, man. I think it's supposed to be free speech.
That's right.
It's supposed to be free speech. When you start showing them that you can't do free speech, then you have to start realizing it's mini terrorism going on. I don't think that should come from the government.
The thing is, the American people and the majority of the people on this earth want peace. They want to be able to live with the peace and hope and love, and they want to be able to live in harmony with one another. They're fed up and they're tired, they're war weary, they're sick of the mess. They're sick of working God knows how many hours per week, 2 people in the family, nobody can stay home with the kids because they gotta be out working just to try to buy food for the kids. They're tired of it. They're tired of it.
If we stopped voting criminals into different offices down there and we just actually got the groups of people to come in, you know, if everybody in the United States had to serve 20 hours a year in the government, we'd have one heck of a workforce. We'd have everything taken care of. We would be the strongest government because of the manpower and the diversity of thinking. It'd be one huge mind of government.
Whatever it takes to fix this mess, we gotta be willing to do it. We the people gotta be willing to do it.
It would cost us a lot less too.
And we're down to the wire. Been another exciting show, slightly interrupted by knuckleheads, but hey, that's good, because we're gonna keep it up. We're gonna keep on doing it.
Think I cut them off several times.
Huh?
Better let Boomer speak first, because I've cut him off quite a few times.
Well, you got any last thoughts there, Raymond?
Yeah, I do. Everybody knows that over 90% of the congressmen are ex-lawyers. And thing is, have we ever had a president that was not? Well, Eisenhower was not a lawyer. And he did a lot of good for this country. Think about that. Hey, Trump's not a lawyer. Neither was Ronald Reagan.
Well, that's what we need, man. What about you, buddy?
God bless America again.
Amen.
Well, my last words of wisdom to people out there is take Thomas Jefferson's words of wisdom and be vigilant. I mean, you gotta be on your toes. I don't care if you gotta drink a ton of coffee and stay up at the polls and stand right next to the box and watch them actually be counted. And watch following to where they gotta go. Make sure that if there's a bus pulling up in front of a deal, that you watch them go in, watch them go out, follow them, and make sure that they don't show up at another poll. If there's election fraud out there, shout it to every doggone corner. Call the doggone local law enforcement and say, look, I just followed this bus from this town over here. They went in and voted. Now they're over here voting.
Hey, one more thing. If you're one of them people who only maybe pray once or twice a year, make it during the next 9 days.
Yep. Now the time is for the people with faith to actually get up there and use that faith. Now's the time, people who don't have faith, to actually get out there and be involved, because what we're standing at right now is the gates of hell, and we're all getting ready to roll in a grocery cart.
I'll give you a promise from God. He says, if my people hear my name and call upon my name, I will forgive them and I will heal their lands.
Amen, brother.
Call them. It's free. There's no waiting. There's no hold.
Before we go over that cliff, I'm saying the people need to put their feet on the brakes. I'm saying the people need to literally, seriously, get up off the couch and get involved. I don't care who you're voting for. Vote your conscience. It's not my choice of who you vote for, but just know that everything that you do in life comes with consequences. And so if you choose the wrong path, then that's the path your children are going to live in. We are the founding fathers, the mothers and sisters and brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends and neighbors of our children and our children's children's future. For what we do today will literally define the world that they live in tomorrow. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is about. Share this podcast with people. Share this podcast with the police, the FBI. Share it with the CIA. Share it with the military. Share it with everybody, because we the people do care. We the people want to live in peace. We want that document that was promised to us, that United States Constitution, to be upheld. We want those rights that were promised to us for your being our representation. We are a representative republic, not a democracy here in the United States of America. We want that upheld.
Vote for any of the candidates if you want. That's your free right.
That's right.
But when you come out, shout the name of the person. And if it starts with a H, be prepared to duck.
If you can't abide by the promise that was given in that piece of paper by the wise man that put that paper together, then you're not our representation. And according to that paper right there, if we can't go around you, we're going to have to come through you. It's as simple as that. Peace and love, everybody. Share this podcast. Share it on your social media networks. Talk with one another. Join us at ShazizRadio.com. Start your own network. Do whatever it takes to keep the words of wisdom flowing and the common sense going. Because what we got going on, like I said, we're standing at the gates of hell getting ready to roll in the grocery cart. Peace and love, everybody. Take care. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
Now, do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system!
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more debatable. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Turtle. King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.